In the third Aliyah of Parshas Truma, we read about the menorah, in which the Torah uses an unusual language, Te'aseh ha-menorah, the menorah shall be made. Rashi quotes from the Tanchuma that Moshe had a hard time with the menorah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him out. He told him to throw the gold into the fire, and the menorah would be made of itself. The Laharis Nassim suggests that the imagery here is that since this represents the covenant between Hashem and the Jews, Moshe assumed that it needed some input from both sides and needed Hashem to do something to contribute to the construction. And the Mishkan Bezalel Radinsky suggests that the menorah represents the Torah, and therefore the Nisim that are involved here in its construction are to show that Hashem will help those who sincerely want to learn. And the idea that the lighting of the menorah is acceptable by a non-Kohen, by a Zar, is meant to also convey the democratic nature of Torah study. The Laharis Nassim also has a discussion here about an exchange between the Ksav Sofer and his father, the Chsam Sofer, that the Ksav Sofer quoted to his father an idea that the reason the Shulchan was taught in the previous Aliyah before the menorah is because the Machazike HaTorah, those who support the Torah, have to be noted first because they make the Torah study possible. And the Chsam Sofer responded to him, well, if that's the case, how come the Aron is taught before that? Because the Aron certainly represents the Torah, had the Torah in it. So the Ksav Sofer responded that there are two types of Talmidei Chachamim. There are those who can get by without anything, and therefore that's represented by the Aron, that's mentioned even before the Shulchan, and those who need some kind of support in order to be able to learn successfully, and that's why we have the Shulchan before the menorah. One could also suggest that really it's not necessarily two different types, but it's two different aspects of Torah study and its relationship to the physical world. Rashiv Karen Biavna would often talk about this theme, noting that when the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Kachi darko shel Torah, pasu melech tochel, amayim shirim tishta, that the path to Torah is to have very minimal benefit from this world, and yet we find other indications in Chazal the opposite, that one will be called to task for any permissible benefit from this world that he did not avail himself of. And Rashiv would explain that they're both true, that a Talmid Chacham is able to recognize that the physical world is here for him to gain from and to grow from in his pursuit of Torah study and its application to the world. But because he is focused on that purpose, he's also able to be successful even when the Gashmias is not available, because he's not tied down to it. He uses it for the purpose of learning and growing. And therefore, when the Mishnah says, Kachi Darka Shel Torah, it means that even when that's all that's available, Pasu Melech Tocho, he's able to eat just a little bit of bread and salt, and still be Osik B'Torah. But when more is available, he is able to harness that towards his growth in learning and spirituality. And therefore, perhaps we could understand then that we're referencing both here, that the Aron that comes before the Shulchan in order to show the quality of the Talmid Chacham who's able to thrive in learning even before the Gashmias is available, but once it is available, is able to harness that and utilize that towards his growth also, and that's what's represented by having the menorah follow the Shulchan. Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, who has a tremendous amount to say about the symbolism of the Kelim and the Mishkan and all that come with it, notes that the menorah symbolizes life and God's spirit and permanence, and that's what the gold represents, and the form of the menorah represents rising up to do good all in one piece, and that there are basic fundamental truths that are built upon and then expanded from here, and the seven lamps represent different viewpoints in diversity and in harmony. Regarding that last point, it's noteworthy also that the Mishnah Sachir, which is the Torah of Rabbi Sachir Shlomo Teichtal, who wrote the Em HaBarim Smecha as well, he notes a psikta that references the pasuk in Sefaniah, V'haya b'esahi achapeses Yushalayim b'neros, that the Jews will be sought out with candles, and the psikta says that the Jews ask only with candles, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that he would be the light, and Hashem points to Zechariah and to Moshe, and this language of Asisa Menorah Zahav Tahar, that's the Knesset Yisrael. And the Mishnah Sacher explained the significance of this medrash, that the candles, which at first seem to be a lesser form of light, actually are represented by the menorah, and the menorah reflects the unity of the Jewish people, and when indeed the Jews are together in a sense of achdus, they are able to provide their own light, which is extremely powerful. In Pasuk Chav Gimel, we read about the Gvim, about the cups, and also the Kaftor Vaferach, about the flower-like parts of the menorah. And the language here is Meshukadim, shaped like almonds. And the Gemara Maseches Yuma, Dafnin Beis and Midbeis, says this is actually a pasuk that we don't really know how to interpret, whether Meshukadim is referring to the Gvim or to the Kaftor Vaferach. And the Paras Yosef HaChadash suggests very much al Pidarach HaDrush that the message here is to the question the Gemara has in a few places about different types of Talmidei Chachamim, about the Sinai on the one hand who has very broad knowledge, and the Ochr HaHarim who is particularly capable at sharp analysis. And there the Gemara asks which is preferable in terms of appointing Rosh Yeshiva, and perhaps here al Pidarach HaDrush there is a similar question, because we could read Meshukadim al Pidarach HaDrush is referring to Shkeda to Hasmada, and the question of where should the focus be, and the Gvim, the cups, represent the knowledge that holds everything, and the Kaftor Vaferach represent the beautiful creations that can come from that knowledge, and the question, therefore, is where should the greater emphasis be put, and the answer is that they're both important, or as he suggests also, whichever one won't lead to Gaiva. Pasuk Hey.
And the Pasuk says, Chamishim Lulos Taseh Biyuriya Ha'achas, V'chamishim Lulos Taseh V'ksia Yuriya, Shir V'achbaris V'sheinis, Matpilos Ha'lulos, Yishol Ha'chasos, you make loops, 50 loops in the curtain, and you're going to connect them to each other. So it's just worth being aware that some of the Rishonim have a comment over here, the Meiri has a comment in Erevin, and Rav Haigel understood also that the halacha that we see in Erevin and in Sukkah is a concept of labud, that when something is less than three tvachim away, so then we consider it to be connected. So they understand that this is derived from here. We normally understand these concepts of halacha l'moshe m'sinai, we don't necessarily know where they come from. But some of the Rishonim say that labud is associated here, that because the pasuk tells us that it's all considered to be one entity, and that it's connected by the space in between. So the space apparently was less than three tefachim. Now, how exactly do you come to that conclusion? So that was a distance. So that's a complicated mathematical discussion. But if you want to take a look, so the footnotes on the Meiri and Erevin that talk about this, there is a whole analysis in Daf Tesamon Aleph and Erevin. There's a whole discussion from the footnotes were written by Rabbi Simcha Dusselberg, Yeshiva, and Chavrin. And there's some nice discussions in later Svarim about what the possible significance would be.
Pasuk Yud Gimel reads, V'hama mizeh, v'hama mizeh, ba'udeif, ba'orech yiros ha'ohel, yasaruach al tzidei ha'mishkan mizeh, mizeh l'chasoso. So here there is cloth hanging down to cover it up. And Rashi quotes from the Yalkut Shimoni, Limda Torah derech eretz, the Torah taught us proper manners, lios chasal hayafe, which sounds like it means that we should be concerned about that which is precious, that which is beautiful, and should protect it. But Sam Derech points out, this is also Reb Simcha Dusselberg who wrote the footnotes on Erevin, here his comments on Chumash, that the intent here is not that it shouldn't get dirty, that could have been accomplished through Nisim, but rather this is trying to teach us the Midas Hatznius, and that when something is beautiful, not only should it be protected from harm, but that it should be treated with modesty, and this is one of the many crucial values that are conveyed through the symbolism of all aspects of the Mishkan.